Hello, everybody, and welcome to Music Industry Insights Worldwide. And today we've got the awesome Jonva with us. Hi, Jonva, how are you?
How you doing? Good day. Good day, Saskia.
Good day to you too, and thank you so much for coming along today, sharing your vision, your story, and your expertise with our listeners. Really appreciate your time. Do you want to tell the listeners a little bit more about yourself, where you're from, and what you do?
Okay. I am, for all my New Yorkers out there, I'm a native New Yorker, Brooklyn kid. What's up? What's up? Like I said, I love my New York. Like I said, live and die in New York and all that stuff. Good things. I am a many things, but one that I am is a cultural broadcaster with the my show Live Life Be Happy 24/7,
Awesome.
which I had Saskia on the other week, and it was an amazing show. So definitely catch it. And on top of that, I think I'm happen to be a musician, a music producer, and songwriter. Working with many interesting and beautiful artists and producers all over the world. And to top that off, I'm also a Berklee Master's Scholar. So, did a lot, for me, and I'm very happy to have been afforded that opportunity to excel in the things that I enjoy. And I always have a slogan which says, follow your dreams, live your passion, and that's what I kind of try to project all over the world.
Yes, I love that. And you're awesome at what you do. So, how long
Thank
have
you.
you actively been in the music and entertainment industry for, Jonva?
I don't want to give my age, but I've been double digits.
Double digits.
Double digits. I cross a timeline of interest in music throughout the years and been able to kind of flourish and grow, as a student of the arts, dating back from the early hip hops when, I got a lot of my mentoring to some of the most iconic, R&B artists such as Ben E. King. And that I had an opportunity to do some work with, demo work, and a lot of great things along the way.
Fantastic. And you talked about your musical education. So is that how you got into the music industry, or was it a passion and then you kind of turn it into an education? How did that happen?
Well, my introduction to music was at 3 years old. My dad used to have his friends, come over, and they used to all kind of hang out and share who had the coolest audio equipment. I come from a Latin America's and Caribbean background, so music was a thing in the house, flourishing at all times. That'd be Caribbean music, salsa, merengue, or whatever it was, classical. We were listening to that kind of music, and I used to always watch them, from the crib. I used to always be watching them, and it's interesting. And sometimes when my dad wasn't there, I'd be toying around with his equipment, and we get in trouble. But like I said, me getting in trouble was just the it was the inspiration for me to kind of flourish in what I really enjoyed doing, which was music at a whole. I started off playing the saxophone and used to just do my thing with the sax. I used to get in trouble because I wasn't one that I was a follower. I was always a leader, so really wasn't didn't want to follow the conductor. I was always trying to create my own stuff.
I know, I get that. And I like people that make their own lane as well, because it's kind of paving a way for other people to follow as well, because there's not always a set path for one certain person. It's quite bespoke, isn't it?
And I used to lock myself in the room and just practice. My mom used to come and knock on the door. Hey, it's time for dinner. And I'm like, okay, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming. Come back and knock. And that was just me, and I just love doing music, and had an opportunity to meet up a good friend of mine who was a in college, a she was an opera singer,
Lovely.
and she took the time to kind of sit down and help me understand theory. So I wanted to go to music school, but I didn't have the kind of the tools to be able to at least make the requirements what was needed. And she did help me. We would sit down and she would explain to me, the musical language.
Fantastic. That's really
And that
nice.
was very, very helpful, which it kind of helped me kind of excel. And once I kind of had an understanding of the language, I was able to kind of, align myself in any given genre and stuff like that. So I thank her very much. Her name was Andrea. And
Awesome.
I, if Andrea, if you listen, I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. I tried reaching out to you, but if you're looking at it, I just want to say thank you.
Never know, she might be listening. So if you
I
are,
hope
Andrew,
so.
please do get in touch with John too, because I'm sure you could reunite some of that passion and that flame. So yeah,
Yes.
thank you so much. Tell us a little bit more about Berklees as well, and how did you become a master in that?
Well, Berklee, I went to a, yeah, I'd done my music, Palm Beach State College, and then I had gotten accepted into another music school for as a composer, composition.
Okay.
But I didn't want to do that because it wasn't in my spirit. And he, the professor, you know, the director, said, "Well, what do you want to do?" And so I just kind of came back, and I wanted to see if I could hang on the New York scene, you know, because I just wanted. And he kind of sensed that from the glow on my face that although I did meet the requirements to be in the composition program, which was very intensive, that really wasn't my passion.
So you
So I
kind of
had hanging out in the studios, you know, just learning music, you know, hanging out with some really interesting DJs. I remember one time I was in a studio, and I was young in studio room A, and Madonna was in the other studio with Frankie Knuckles working stuff, you know, and I'm just like, wow, I guess I one day maybe I can meet her and stuff like that. But just to be in the same presence of in the building with an iconic person like Madonna, it was just like amazing. And you know, I just kind of over the years just kind of worked at my craft, worked on my skills, and never just gave up, just kind of worked. You know, there were shortcomings where people at times they ridiculed me because, you know, my music wasn't up to the standards, which was commercial. And I said, you know what? I'm gonna take that ridicule and turn it into a positive thing.
That's
And
it.
it kind of pulled me forward. And they're not ridiculing anymore. We could say that.
As well, like, and kind of you touched on some of the challenges and barriers you faced, but obviously, coming from the background you come from, being in the States, very competitive, being like a composer and then wanting to be an artist and wanting to kind of broaden out, what kind of issues and barriers did you face in your career?
I find that, you know, you can get lost in someone else's vision, you know, and just because their vision seems to be a good one, you know, especially so you could be working with a label or you could be working in a on a, some kind of recording project, that may not be, you know, who you are. And I always found that I wasn't able to have my voice heard. And I understand there was a growing period, the development period. And I was thought and I just wasn't ready. And it was I wasn't ready. I think for me, it was the preparation that I needed to be able to take on these different roles.
I keep saying that to myself as well sometimes because I'm literally trying to make my music. But because of the financial barriers and some of the other stuff that goes behind it and getting the right people and the professional team around you, I think I've tried to remain relevant and do what I can with what I've got until I get to that stage, but always stay consistent. Is that something you found worked for you as well?
Yes, you know, staying consistent and always, you know, doing things that's going to make you better than you were the day before and even yesterday. And this has to be large accolades, but little things,
That's good.
you
Little
know.
steps. Yeah, little steps make big progress, right? And I think that's and also having that kind of passion and dedication also helps. If you love what you do, you're always going to do it regardless, right? So you just keep going. And I think sometimes when we fail, that's where we're actually learning and we're growing at the same time.
Totally, totally. You know, you mentioned Berkeley. I mean, I was blessed to have been able to make Berkeley. I went in as an undergrad, made some incredible friendships. One in particular was Prince Charles Alexander, who produced Biggie, Beyonce, Bad Boy, all that stuff. And it was a great mentor to have to kind of learn about the business. And he said to me, you know, the day that you decide to stop making music to listen in your own four walls, come talk to me. And I realized, okay, so I need to be able to have my voice heard beyond the confines of my condo or my home and take a chance.
And
Take a
that's,
chance.
isn't it? And it can be scary at times as well. So how did you find that? Like, did you just go for it? Did you have the courage to do it straight away? Or was it something you had to build on to get to it?
I had to build on because you always think that you're ready, but you're never ready. My mom was like, you know, everything happens one day at a time. And I had to, I guess, step away from the ego and just be very humble in what I'm doing and work with all types of clients. I've never had a problem working with clients, but making music that fits whatever realm that I needed to be in, you know?
I totally get you. What's your thoughts on artist development at the moment? It's kind of changed what it used to be. So what are your thoughts on how artist development works now?
Yeah, I think, you know, I understand the mindset around it, but I think it should go back to the fundamental ways and cultivate things. You know, everybody's on this fast track, and fast track, it doesn't have sustainability, in my opinion.
I've heard this before, actually. Yeah, I've heard that.
Right. Because then the artist, you fast track the artist, and then after that one maybe successful hit, then what else is there left? As opposed to if you're working on development and taking time to cultivate, you'll find that you have a career.
You meet the right people, you kind of right. build a network, you kind of get listeners that are interested or followers.
Exactly. You get a tribe called the tribe. You get a tribe.
Yes, that's it. And kind of obviously you've been in the industry for like 2 decades now. So what's your thoughts on equality, diversity, and inclusion? Are we moving in the right direction? And do you think we've still got way more to do?
I think it's work in progress. You know, we have to kind of remove ourselves from the cliches.
Yeah.
The status quo, and just kind of not be afraid to, you know, take some chances, you know.
Yeah.
And be respectful. You know, respect comes a long way. Be respectful.
It really does. And I think, you know, for me as well, I always try to respect people, but not everyone's respectful. And that's the thing, as you just got to be respectful to everyone, regardless if they're not. You know what I mean? And try and change their hearts and minds at the same time, which can be a challenge. Kind of, have you had any challenges around obviously your ethnicity, where you come from, and getting that succession and that succeeding, sorry, in the industry?
I always felt that, you know, I was younger, that I was always different from everybody else. You know, I come from a culturally multicultural family.
Yeah.
You know, my family is United Nations. Any ethnicity or country, we probably have it in our family. And I felt as though I always had to try to find my space, my comfort zone. And when I realized that, you know, it's okay to be me, like I said, then I felt comfortable. And, you know, I'm the type of person, I would make my friends laugh. I would go maybe to like, and I'm going off base, but maybe to a nightclub and we're dance, having a party. And I'm like, I really don't need anybody. I'm going to go out there and dance on the dance floor by myself because I was comfortable. And I was like, how do you do this? I said, you just have to believe in yourself and be happy and comfortable in your space.
Yeah, great advice. Thank you for sharing that as well, actually. I think that's something that I tell myself all the time. And even when I'm going somewhere and I'm not quite comfortable, I'm saying to myself, Saskia, when you're not comfortable, that's when you're actually growing. So sometimes, you know, when you're out of your comfort zone, you feel it inside you. But at the same time, that's part of growth and success as well. It's moving out of your comfort zone.
Yeah. And that's what works. You know, I find out and everything. I said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, as I always say, to fall forward. Because when you fall forward, guess what? You catch yourself. And it's okay. You can do it a couple more times until you learn it and you're like, you know what? I've kind of mastered this.
This makes perfect, as they say. That's the one, isn't it? So if we want to music industry now, where would you like it to head in the next 5 years around equality and inclusion? What do you see is coming up? Do you see any trends? Do you see anything that we could kind of improve on?
I think, you know, I would like to see more artistry, meaning when I say artistry, to have people very, like, I'm fine with the technology, but let's go back to the old ways a little bit and develop, you know, some of these pieces of work to be classics that will have longevity.
Oh, that'd be awesome. We don't
whatever
have
it is, if it's house music, if it's EDM, if it's hip hop, you know, let's have a message for everybody.
That'd be awesome, because I think a lot of the music now, it's kind of throwaway, isn't it? It doesn't last as long. It hasn't got those classical songs that we used to have. Right. You know, back to the 90s, everyone's still listening to those tracks now. We don't really do that as much now, do we?
Yeah, because we don't take time to sit down to really write a song. I did a piece of work with an amazing artist out of the UK named Adam Wed. We did a song, it was out of Abbey Roads, called Some Days.
I listened to it, actually. It was a great track.
Yeah, this song was written at the height of the pandemic, and we just formed a part of friendship.
Lovely, lovely.
And it expresses what was going on. So, and these were true emotions brought down into a narrative to connect with anybody who's listening to it. When you listen to it, you get it, right?
A lovely song, actually. I really did enjoy it. And well done for doing that. Abbey Road is a big studio, as you know, and the Beatles recorded some of their albums there. So great place to be.
Yeah, beautiful people. We work with Paul Tipler, a big, well-known producer out in the UK. Yeah. And I'm excited to work on a new song with Adam. Actually, meeting him in New York in a couple of days. We're working on some new stuff. So, you know, it's all good, man. I love my UK, and UK has been treating me mighty good.
I love that. I've been to Abbey Road a couple of times, and I do love it down there. Very friendly, very kind, very inclusive, which I really, really enjoy as well. And I think they're making strides to be open to everybody. And I think that's something
Sure.
I love to see, you know. Do you think cultural and age differences, obviously you're from the States, this probably applies to you more. Do you think cultural and age differences have an impact on how far we can go with equality and inclusion? Or do you think it's really an industry issue?
I think it's a society issue
Okay.
that we need to, you know, get better at, you
Yeah.
know,
Yeah.
and make an effort,
Yeah.
you know, just make an effort. It's okay. You know, no one's going to bite you. You're not going to get hurt. Just make an effort. But I always have this theme. Let's do it lovingly and respectfully.
Oh, I wish everyone would do that. I wish everyone was like that. It'd be so nice.
Yeah. Yep.
And, you know, you look back to the 80s as well, and we had so many different artists that were just so unique. They were so different. They were so stand out. We've kind of lost that too, that kind of artistic identity that makes you kind of different, that makes you kind of special. Why do you think that's happened?
I think that happened back then because they were, remember, they're from another day, from different generation. Folks who were in the 80s were, I don't want to say boomers, but, you know, they came from that generation where, you know, when you were creating, you didn't just create a bunch of words. You created emotions. You created a narrative. You something that was going to stick to to your audience. You know, if there were the song, the hook was like "Baby, baby, baby," and if people were like, "Wow, you know, that could be me." You think it, regardless of what you of your gender, you're like, "Oh, that could be me." You know what I'm saying? You connect with that. So they took the time to express those emotions in the point where, like I said, the intentions were there.
Yeah.
We have moved away from that. And this is something that we need to go because everybody wants everything within the first 30 seconds.
A finger, yeah.
Life doesn't work like that. Even when you're being birthed, it doesn't take 30 seconds.
That's so true. It's so true, actually. And I think, you know, the more I think about this as well, it's like things maybe don't last as long as they used to because the hard work doesn't go into it like it used to. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think a lot of it comes from experience and pain and you know, some of the darkest times people write about, or love, for example, or heartbreak, you know, things that people really relate to. Today, I think you listen to certain types of music and it's not got no storyline to it, really, has it? And I think some of it, that's probably part of the problem, isn't it? Some of it doesn't have a story to it.
Yeah, if you listen to it, like, okay, this doesn't make sense. It's like reading a book. I'm like, okay, I'm reading the preface, some chapters, and I really don't understand where are we going? Where are you guiding me to?
Okay.
Sometimes they don't know where they're being guided to because everybody's following a formula, a grid of some sort, you know? So, you know, I would say you definitely have to go back to basics and listen to some of the greats.
I go back to the old school stuff all of the time. I'm inspired by the old school stuff as well. And I think I can learn from it all the time. Anyway, I can gain ideas. And it can kind of inspire me to create new music. You know, looking at older artists that have done really, really well, you can use them as a kind of inspiration to kind of create some new music, which I think is great, but also keep true to yourself and authentic. Because I think
so
we
true.
Do that sometimes as well.
You one know? Of my, and I sure I've been to one of my biggest songwriters team, Elton John and was it Bernie Taupin, right? And, you know, amazing what they've been able to accomplish together as a team and the words with the music and how it just sticks.
Yeah.
This is classic songwriting at its best.
I love that. It's like cooking, isn't it? You've got a little bit of salt, you've got a little bit of pepper, and then you add some ingredients into it. And if you get
exactly
in the right place, you can come up with some awesome music. Magic.
Totally.
Yeah. And obviously being in the music industry, has it affected your mental health? Has it made you obviously doubt yourself or question yourself? Or have you ever had times where you just want to give up?
No, I never wanted to give up. I'm one of those folks that have tenacity. And when I feel that there's an obstacle, my mom always say, you have to address the obstacle and can never run away from your problems. You have to kind of figure a way because you can run to Europe, you can run to wherever you want to run to, but you have to face the music.
Face me.
You got to face the music. So I'll sit down and say, okay, what's happening? You know, what's the issue? And I look and who do I see? It's me in the mirror. So how are we going to fix that? You know, how are we going to get help for that? Do we need help for that?
Yeah.
Or do we need to just take a moment, just be quiet? Because when you're quiet, you have an opportunity to refocus, recenter, and anchor down.
Okay, some great advice. Thank you so much. And if a new artist was coming into the industry, they want to become successful, they want to make some really good hits. They want to have some longevity in their career. What kind of advice would you give to them, Jonva?
I would tell them, you know, within your community, there are music organizations that are free, even over there in the UK and the United States, all over the place. Join those groups, network, you know, form alliances, you know. Don't be afraid to form alliances across the board, whether it's gender or whatever it is. Form alliances and friendships, because guess what? We're all in this together and we can move forward with success.
Yeah, that's lovely. Thank you so much for that. I think that's amazing. And obviously, you've been in the industry. Have you suffered from stigma or discrimination in your kind of journey?
Never, because I think I've always had this attitude is I'm doing my own thing. So really, I don't really pay attention to that. What I do pay attention is the being disciplined in what I'm doing.
Okay.
And also aligning myself with the right situations and opportunities.
Yeah.
And when I feel something, when there's a challenge, I say, you know what? Like my mom says, if you were meant to be there, you're going to be there. If it wasn't meant for you, guess what? Find something else to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So I kind of avoid that. And you see that. You see a lot of interesting things in the industry. And sometimes you're like, well, really? And I'm like, well, like I said, I'm just not going to go that route. And I'll take my chance. As I said, I'll roll the dice. But I know when I roll the dice, I know there's a bit of uncertainty. But guess what? You have to have the confidence and belief that you will overcome and prevail in what you do.
I always tell myself I'm going to do this and I stick to it. And I kind of, you know, I'm telling myself this stuff. Sometimes people say, Saskia, you're delusional. You're not going to do this. You're not going to do that. And it's kind of being, having that belief in yourself when no one else does, and just keep persevering and keep going and keep, you know, even without money and without other bits and pieces, sometimes it does take time, like you said. But sometimes the way I see it is like I'm developing. I'm learning all the time. I'm figuring out the industry and who those main players are and how it operates. And I think artists today, they don't really understand how the music business itself operates. Do you think that's also a good tip to share? Like, do you need to learn about the industry before you come into it?
I would say do your homework and allow yourself time to absorb the information.
Definitely.
And the expectation that you set yourself, be realistic, honestly.
I get that, you know, but I think, you know, you've got to have dreams and you've got to dream big. If you
True.
Want, you've
True.
Got to dream big, right? And
True.
Not get to that state, but you've got that dream, you've got it, that drive, that passion, that, you know, I think it's about succeeding. Succeeding is part of being, is it within you, isn't it? And how far you're willing to take it to the next level. And I think if you don't give up and you just keep believing and I do meditation, I do prayer, I do all sorts of different things as well. You know, I'm quite a spiritual person. And I believe that really, really helps as well, you know, to kind of ground me, but also keep me going and motivate me, because it can be really challenging.
Yeah, I totally agree. And when I'm mentoring my students, you know, and I'm teaching them and stuff like that, and they talk to me and I share them my experiences, what I'm doing. They're like, wow, you actually letting us into your world. I'm like, why not? What's the big secret? And that's how, as a mentor, I pass off the torch, because when I see that I have a student who goes on and then they're touring like maybe in Japan, and I'm like, wow, you know, and I'm like, or they're at center stage at some stadium in the UK, and then I mentor these people, I'm like, it's great to see that, because they put their arms in what I was telling them. It's okay. And they're like, I gave them a different perspective on life. Don't be afraid. But guess what? If you make a mistake, so what? If you don't get there today, so what? You'll get there tomorrow.
Yes.
You know?
I love the positive thinking, because it really does get you somewhere, doesn't it? And you can always be positive. You can always do that.
It does. I mean, you can't fault yourself, but you just have to believe in yourself. But like, where you get this I said, yeah, I get it from my mom, because she tells me that, you know, every obstacle you can overcome, but sometimes, like I said, there'll be challenges, but be patient.
I think that's a good one as well. Patience. Yes. Mm-hmm. Patience is also part of the solution. Yeah. I think. Yeah. Not rushing it, because if you rush, you're going to make more mistakes, and you don't need to make mistakes.
True.
You know?
True. And be in it for what you want.
Yeah.
You know, if it's the glamour that you got, okay, you have to kind of really think about it. If it's the glamour, then maybe need to realign what your objective is. If it is that, you know what, I want to write songs so that 7 billion people around the world can listen to. And I did this. And when a friend of mine got mad at an attorney, he's like, but you didn't monetize the song. I'm like, hey, dude, I said, it wasn't about that. I said, I was in a place, you know, And I said, I just wanted to write some music and just put it out there so the tr so people can connect with it.
Yes.
And the results were people were connecting on this radio show that I had, radio channel, which were tracks that I was writing, which really people were like, you wrote that? I'm like, yeah. And I was getting people from Asia, from France, from the UK, from Saudi Arabia, from Pakistan, just for, I said, but that I told them that's what the intention was. And some people said, you know, your music saved my life. And I was like, wow. And that's I don't care about the monetary aspect. Like,
Yeah.
yes, the rewards will come, but if when you start the creative process, the intentions within you has to be aligned with what you're going to produce.
100%. I think for me as well, I think to myself, come on, Saski, like you've got to keep it moving. You've got to stay positive and you've got to believe and you've just got to keep pushing and just stay true. Stay true and write about some of those issues you've been through and relate to other people. But if you want to be in it for money, it's not the right industry to be in, honestly, because it's not one of those industries you can make money from that quickly or that easily, right? You need to know the right in the right places to do that.
Exactly, Sky. Treat music industry as an annuity.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I just look at it as a passion. You know, it's my passion, my love, and it's just something that I grow in and I feel respected and I feel included in. And not always in the world do I feel included or accepted. So I think I found the right place for me. It's just now literally, you know, getting to the place I need to be. And sometimes you've also got to figure out, okay, how am I going to get to this place if I don't have the cash? What other ways, which other ways can I do this? So whether that be collaborating, whether that be writing songs, whether that be, you know, helping other artists in their careers as well. You know, I think it's having different skills and utilizing them. So when you're ready, you can monetize from each of those skills rather than just the one.
Exactly. I mean, it's about the networking.
Yeah.
And again, don't be afraid. Like I said, don't take that risk, you know,
I'll
but make sure it's not too much crazy of a risk.
I'm like, here we go, is another risk. And sometimes I feel like a racehorse jumping over those jumps. I'm like, again, don't.
But you could if you're gonna do like a racehorse, you could just kind of put your leg over, test, you know, the height. Okay, I got it. Okay, let's go.
Yeah. And I think sometimes even I get a little bit scared. And I think sometimes it can be scary and it can be daunting as well. You know, am I doing the right thing? Am I making an impact? Am I reaching the right people? And I get so much great feedback. I don't think, and this was a question someone asked me the other day is, do you think you're successful? And I said, well, what's success? Because success to me might be different to somebody else. So I
Exactly.
wouldn't personally say I'm successful. I'm just progressing in my career. But some people are like, you're really successful. And I'm like, well, thank you. I don't see it like that myself. No. I really don't.
I'm right there with you. They're like, "Oh, you're doing that?" So yeah, you're seeing me doing things. Okay, yes, thank you. But at the end of the day, it's my success is being able to write a piece of composition, and then someone hears it and they says, "You know what? That really made my day."
Blew me away. I remember that song. I love that song, you know, or that really
Exactly.
resonated with me. And then you're humming it all day long. I love the tracks.
And that's it, you know. It goes beyond the Spotify streams, whatever. One person or a group of people tell you how that song made them feel. Guess what? You're successful.
Yeah. I might as well be, but I would say I'm successful when I can pay my bills. You know what I
True,
mean?
true. That's another thing, you know. It's like more like okay, the monetary aspect. But like I said, from the creator's point, like I said, we walk in our success, and you do it every day. Maybe you
Yes.
don't see it, but it's
Yeah.
happening.
Thank you. I don't see it often in myself. I just do it because I do it for community. I do it to educate, inspire, and empower others. You know, I think a lot of the time I put other people before myself, and I'm also learning that in my own career is to actually take some time for me and don't forget to help myself because I'm a great people helper. You know, I love helping others. That's in my nature. So I
That's
love
what you have to do. You have to, and it's okay to put yourself first. Like I said, you know, with the intention that everything that you need to take care of behind the scene is already taken care of.
Okay, I'll remember that one. Thank you very much. Thank you. We've literally got 10 minutes left, actually, so that time's gone really quickly. But do you want to share with us any major wins or successes that you've had?
Well, I had a lot, you know. Right now, I'm working with a good friend of mine, Denise the Stefano, on an audiobook with her, which should be coming out soon. We're in the studio working that called Out of Respect. It'll be Out of Respect audiobook. The book actually is on Amazon. and many other platforms. Just kind of Google it. We also I have with my good, amazing partner, Wanda Ryan. We produced two syndicated radio shows, A Slice of Canada, over in the UK. You're with Radio Wigwam, our partners.
Yeah.
And also Maple Music Cafe over in Canada, in Toronto. So we kind of got a lot of things in motion.
How do you have enough time in the day? You're doing so many
you know
different.
What? I'm a person. I don't like to rest, not in a bad way, but I always have things just going, moving, and that's how I live my life.
I'm very much like
I'm
that.
Not a workaholic. We'll say that. I just like to be very, you know, always doing something because that's what gives me my purpose in doing what I have to do in life and just and create. I need to be creating.
I totally resonate with that. And I think especially for me as well, like when I'm doing something positive. I'm not just doing it for myself, but I'm helping others. But then I'm also just keeping my mind busy. I'm creating, I'm making, whether it be music, whether it be songs, whether it be panels and talks. You know, for me, it's about doing something, keeping my mind busy. I like to be stimulated, mentally stimulated. And I think being a creative, you know, I'm not very academic. I try my best, but I'm a creative. So, you know, when I'm doing things and I'm creating new things or I'm building community, I find that very rewarding. Extremely rewarding, you know, and it's not about the money there at all. It's about building community and respect for others as well as itself.
Yeah. You know, got to keep busy. And people are like, you never rest. No, it's not that. It's just I'm always creating. So sometimes, you know, for me to actually turn it down, you know, I have these little things I do, maybe watch like funny movies and something that I can just escape from myself. And that's my relaxation.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I think that's sometimes.
Whip out a guitar and play some. But you got to find throughout all this, you have to find a moment of peace within yourself.
Balance.
You know,
Yeah,
a balance. You know, if you want to sit out on the deck and look at and bird watch or people watch, just relax and just be quiet and listen to the air.
Yeah.
You'll catch a song in there
I
too.
Love nature. I love going out in nature and just being out in the nature because it's really healing as well, actually. So if anyone wants to connect with you, Jonver, if they want to find out more, if they want to contact you, how could they do that?
If they can contact me, you can Google me, Jonver Venn, or you can go to the LinkedIn and put Jonver. I am also on Instagram, which is the official Jonver Venn 8.0. As long as you put Jonver, Jonva, Venn, you'll find me all across the board.
Well, I'll leave all of that in the description below. Also, I'll put the book that you've got coming out with your friend. I'll put as much information as I can. So listeners, please do go and check out Jonver's work. If you're interested, please do reach out or ask him any questions. I'm sure I'll be happy to help you. And thank you ever so much again for taking your time out of your busy schedule to come and share your views and your knowledge with us. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your afternoon.
You too, Chesky. I just want to say thank you for, you know, allowing me the opportunity to jump on your podcast. And everybody, much love around the world. Much love. We can do this together. Remember that we can do this together.
Thank you ever so much. I'll speak to you soon. Take
All right,
care.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye. There we are.